What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Giving you a behind-the-scenes look of Smashville's team. This is Preds Insiders with Adam Vingan. Smashville lives here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Adam Vingan here. Nick Keiser as well on Wednesday evening. Nashville Predators start their road trip with a win, 3-2, in San Jose on Tuesday evening. Philip Forsberg with 2 points. Steven Stamkos, another goal. You can look at this in one of two ways, Keiser. Glass half full. The Predators are not going down without a fight. They are a proud group, and despite the fact that this season has been a major disappointment, the playoffs are a near impossibility, they're prideful. They want to go out playing their best hockey. That's the glass half full because they've won 4 games in a row. Glass half empty, they're screwing up their draft lottery odds. So I know some of you are in column A and some of you are in column B, and I do not fault you for being in either column, but the Predators, they win again last night, 3-2 in San Jose. They are back in action on Friday at the Pond against the Anaheim Ducks. They wrap up the road trip on Saturday against the Los Angeles Kings. But Keiser, we're here to talk about the aftermath of the NHL trade deadline, which was last Friday. The Predators made 3 moves, one of which we've already discussed because it happened early. The Predators traded Gus Nyquist to the Minnesota Wild for a 2026 second-round draft pick. Since we last spoke, the Predators made 2 more trades. They traded Tommy Novak and Luke Shen to the Pittsburgh Penguins for Michael Bunting and a 2026 fourth-round draft pick. And then Mark Jankowski off to Carolina for a 2025 fifth-round pick. Nick, I went back and looked at the opening night lineup. Think back to early to mid-October, the Nashville Predators, expectations are high. They're at home against the Dallas Stars. Great crowd, a lot of anticipation. The following players who were in the starting lineup for the Nashville Predators on opening night are no longer members of the Nashville Predators. Gus Nyquist, Tommy Novak, Philip Tomasino, Mark Jankowski, Dante Fabro, Alex Carrier, Luke Shen, and Scott Wedgwood. That is 8 players that were on the ice on opening night at Bridgestone Arena who are no longer members of this organization.
Wonder if that's the highest in the NHL, perhaps.
I believe our very own Willie Donick told me that on the air, they did find out that that was the most turnover from an opening night lineup in the NHL, which does not surprise me. So we've already talked about the Gus Nyquist move. It happened early. It was really one of the first major moves right around the deadline in the NHL. I guess you can call it a major move since Gus Nyquist is a notable name. But let's start with the move that was the biggest for the Predators. Tommy Novak and Luke Shen to the Pittsburgh Penguins for Michael Bunting and a 2026 fourth round draft pick. Let's just quickly start on Michael Bunting because some Predators fans may be unfamiliar with Michael Bunting. Michael Bunting was a late bloomer. He didn't break into the NHL until he was either 25 or 26 years old. In his first full season as an NHL player, the 2021-2022 season, he had 23 goals and 63 points, career high, 63 points, for the Toronto Maple Leafs, playing on the top line with Austin Matthews. Over his two seasons in Toronto, he scored a total of 46 goals, 23 goals in each season. Again, riding shotgun with Austin Matthews. And he was a 26-year-old rookie in 2021-2022, just because of the lack of games he had played in his NHL career. So he was an old rookie. After leaving Toronto, he went to the Carolina Hurricanes. He was barely there. He was traded from Carolina to Pittsburgh at the deadline last season as part of the Jake Guentzel trade. So he played parts of two seasons in Pittsburgh, had 48 points in 79 games, 20 goals, 28 assists, and now he heads to Nashville. Right before he was traded, he underwent an appendectomy, so he hasn't played for the Predators. Barry Trotz said to Jared Stillman on Tuesday that perhaps he could make his Predators debut later in this road trip. But it certainly sounds, Nick, that Barry Trotz had his eye on Michael Bunting and thinks that Michael Bunting could be a useful player for this team.
Yeah, he absolutely could be. And I'm not sure where he's going to slot when he comes in. But when he does come in the lineup, I could see very quickly that they just move down Jacob Vrana to the fourth line and then put Bunting on the third line with Cole Smith and Fedor Svechkov. That would be what I would do if I was the coach currently, and then you scratch one of those D-man. But they've been running seven the last three games now. So, no, it's interesting that they picked him up, and I was kind of on top of that when it was happening, and I was interested to hear his name come up, and it really didn't make a whole lot of sense. That's kind of the sentiment. I think that was more or less what was expressed across the league, was why are these two teams trading more or less, and I think for him coming to Nashville, he does bring that gritty consistency. He is able to score some goals. You mentioned his time in Toronto. That's where I remember him most. And he was also briefly with the then Arizona Coyotes when he started off his career. But ever since then, he has had a pretty big jump in his production. And I'm interested to see how he conforms to Andrew Brunette's system, and he sounds like a guy that fits it fairly well. I also wonder how disciplined he's going to be, because when he left the Penguins, he had the most PIMs and led their team. So I don't know if he ranks the highest on the Predators currently. It doesn't matter too much. He has a clean slate here now, but when he was in Pittsburgh, I remember him more for his tenacity. So we'll see if he's kind of able to bring that night after night after having his appendectomy. I had kind of heard about that when the deal went down as well. So I was unaware that he was on IR, but heard that he had that surgery. So, but he comes in and he was part of, you know, that Pens team last year that didn't make the playoffs. And he doesn't have too much postseason experience that will matter down the line if the Predators become more competitive down the stretch, Adam. But yeah, the price to get him was a little interesting, and Barry Trotz kind of backed that up with Jared as well. I'm not really sure that you give up two roster players for a guy like that, maybe a different draft pick to get him. But the deal originally was supposed to be Tommy Novak for Michael Bunting, and that did not end up happening. So the Pens wanted more. Kyle Dubas obviously gets his guy in Luke Shen and then trades him over to the Winnipeg Jets. So that was intriguing to me that they flipped Shen so quickly. Some insiders thought that might be the case. But yeah, Bunting is now a Nashville Predator, number 58. So he should be debuting sometime this weekend. I would assume maybe the back half of the back-to-back. That way he's not rushed too quickly. But yes, him and Zach LaRue are likely to be back in the lineup as they finish out their time in California.
So you mentioned the other Luke Shen trade. Luke Shen going from Pittsburgh to Winnipeg for a second round pick and a fourth round pick. We were on the air on DVD when that trade happened, because we were on the air for the final 3 hours of the trade deadline. And immediately when I saw that deal, I said to Willie Donick, the Penguins better have retained salary on this deal. If they were able to get a second and fourth round pick for Luke Shen without retaining salary, That's not going to be a great look for Barry Trotz. And the Penguins did not retain salary on that deal. Now, Barry Trotz will say, well, I thought Michael Bunting was worth a second-round pick. So to me, it's basically the same deal.
And he did, basically.
So. Yes. So the other part of this as well, Nick, is the Tommy Novak aspect of it. 1 year ago, there were a lot of rumors that Tommy Novak could be on the move at the deadline. He was unsigned. Teams were reportedly willing to give up something significant, a high draft pick perhaps, for Tommy Novak. Ultimately, the Predators signed him to a 3-year contract with a $3.5 million cap hit. So certainly a reasonable price for Tommy Novak. But that's beside the point. The Predators, 1 year after signing Tommy Novak to a 3-year deal, wiped their hands of Tommy Novak. And although I acknowledge and commend Barry Trotz realizing he made a mistake by signing Tommy Novak and trusting him to be this team's second line center at the start of the season, it does not erase the fact that Barry Trotz thought that Tommy Novak could be a second line center. Again, good on Barry Trotz for realizing his mistake, but it does not erase the fact to me that he made a mistake.
And I'm wondering why they thought he would be able to be that second line centerman, honestly. I don't think he had done too much to even prove that. Now, if you look at his stats, sure. I mean, it backs up that he's productive in the right ways, but the stars had to align for him in those scenarios as well. Obviously, he didn't spend that much time in Milwaukee when he did end up getting the call and then never went back down. But I think for me, he's just not an elusive guy down the middle whatsoever. And when I watch him play, I just don't think he's as quick either. I mean, he is able to kind of make plays and outthink players, but he's going to bring to Pittsburgh what he did in Nashville. And by the way, he's already day-to-day. I don't know if you saw that or not, but he's currently injured. So, I mean, for me to look back at that in hindsight, last spring they signed him to that 3-year deal, and I was thinking at the time that, okay, this makes a lot of sense. This will be their depth for the next few years, and maybe he'll be in that bottom six role. I never thought he would be considered whatsoever for that second line center, yet he was. And here we are a year later, and it was a year and 1 day later that he was traded to the Penguins too. So that was kind of funny, but he's going to have a future that is filled with a lot of tumultuous endeavors, I would say, up there, because the Pens are outside of the playoffs. They traded his best friend Cody Glass after he just got there. Now he's with Tomasino. I mean, for him, he has a tall task at hand. He was their third line winger, I believe, in his debut. So we'll find out how well he fits in there. But good on Barry Trotz to at least move off of him. I know that our friend Robbie Stanley was a huge fan of that move as well. So we'll have to find out what he does over there. But I think getting Michael Bunting, you get the best player out of the deal. So we'll see if he ends up becoming anything for this team. And he has a couple more years on his contract as well. I believe he comes in, let's see, he's coming in at $4.5 million each season. He's in year 2 of 3 of his current contract. So if the Predators are able to retain him past that contract, that would be a good look for Barry Trotz. But I don't know, Adam. It's looking like he's moving some goalposts with in terms of some of his comments and whatnot lately. So we'll see if he's able to kind of do more this summer.
Coming up next on Preds Insiders, we'll discuss Barry Trotz and the big picture. Some interesting comments with Jared Stillman after the trade deadline. We will dissect those coming up next. Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser this week on Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser here with you on Wednesday evening. The Nashville Predators are back in action on Friday in Anaheim against the Ducks in a SoCal back-to-back. They'll play the Los Angeles Kings on Saturday before returning home next Tuesday, March 18th, to face the St. Louis Blues. But we are talking about the aftermath of the NHL trade deadline. And Nick, Right after the NHL trade deadline on Friday, Barry Trotz joined Jared Stillman on Stillman & Company to discuss the moves he made, the moves he didn't make, and what the plan is for the future. And there was one comment that he made that really stood out to me. This was Barry Trotz on Stillman & Company talking about his plan.
What would your message for those fans be?
I just said, you know, this is going to be a process. You got to stay patient with it. I mean, you know, we're in the McDonald's area. You want us to be in first place, and then it doesn't go that way, and then you know, everybody rips us for, you know, not being there, or rips us for doing nothing in free agency, and then we do something in free agency and it doesn't work out, and we get ripped. So you got to ignore that. Some of the fans, I say, the plan hasn't changed. That's something that hasn't changed. We should have a better team than we had this year in terms of on the ice. That part is, we just never got it together, and we may get it together, but it's going to be too late. But it is a process that it hasn't changed, and we're just going to continue to be patient, continue to add players, continue to add prospects, continue to draft well, and then we're going to have a good team. But our core, you know, you look at the top teams right now. We look at our whole division. You look at Colorado and Dallas and that. They already have their core. And so they're able to take those big swings in free agency. Our young core is not here yet. And we have to be patient and wait for it.
That was Barry Trotz on Stillman & Company last Friday. And Nick, I hear what Barry Trotz is saying. And he has said this in various ways over the past several months, that signing Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault and Brady Shea, he did it to buy time for the younger players. Your Matthew Woods and your Tanner Mullendykes and your Joachim Kemmels and your Fedor Svechkovs, etc. I'm having a hard time buying that. Tell me if you think I'm off base here, Nick. You don't buy time by signing three of the top free agents on the market on July 1st and spend $100 million roughly on those three players?
I did the math
and
on Marchessault
that. In terms of total dollars.
Mm-hmm,
to me, those
like
are not buying time type of moves. Those types of moves, to me, signify that you are trying to win. So, again, maybe I'm seeing this the wrong way. But it feels like Barry Trotz is starting to move the goalposts.
Mm-hmm.
This season has been a disaster. And I am not going to fault Barry Trotz for the signings he made in free agency, because I thought he was bold to do that in free agency. So I'm not going to pretend that I didn't praise him for taking those big swings. And that's one thing I've liked about Barry Trotz as a general manager. He has been unafraid to be bold and take those big swings. But so far, those big swings have not worked. And here's the other thing, Nick, that confuses me. And you are more knowledgeable on the prospects than I am. He mentioned Colorado and Dallas. They've got their cores set. The Predators' young core has yet to arrive. As of right now, none of the Predators' prospects project to be franchise players. I believe the Athletic ranked the Predators 8th in their team-by-team rankings earlier this calendar year. But Scott Wheeler, who wrote the rankings, talked about how the Predators' overall prospect group of the top 10 teams was probably the least sexy. And I've pulled up Scott Wheeler's list from February 11th of the top 100 drafted NHL prospects. Top 100. The Predators' top-ranked prospect is Tanner Mullendykes at 25. He's in Tier 4. The next closest is Matthew Wood in Tier 6 at 68. David Edstrom at 71. Zachary LaRue at 72. Fedor Svechkov at 83. Joachim Kemmel at 88. Now, if the Predators draft one of the top picks in the upcoming draft, maybe you have that franchise player. But none of those players scream next generation franchise player.
No.
None of those players scream next Philip Forsberg, next Roman Josi. So I understand that Barry Trotz is trying to, and he's done a relatively good job of tempering expectations. Nobody expected this season to go as poorly as it did. But to me, if you're looking to buy time for these young players, you don't sign one of the greatest goal scorers of his generation.
No.
You don't.
No.
So I'm just, at this moment right now, I am not buying what Barry Trotz is selling.
No, and I think you have a reason to believe why you're saying that. And look, this window is not very big. They've got basically until the end of the next two seasons to really capitalize on this roster, because you've got Ryan O'Reilly, theoretically, if you keep him all the way through his contract, he's here through the 26-27 season. And outside of that, you know, on defense, you've got only two guys that are here until then, and that's Roman Josi, Brady Shea, and now Adam Willsby after he signed his extension recently. And then I guess UC Saros as well. But look, for me, Adam, I do agree with you. And what they did in free agency, and I went back and looked at my notes, the eight players that they spent money on, and I can't recall if it's exactly eight from the offseason, but the Preds spent $114 million. You know, that's nothing to blink at for sure. And, you know, that also, in my little bit of research here, the Titans and the Predators spent over $353 million in free agency over the last two off seasons, which that's just a Nashville stat. But look, for me, it's not encouraging that they've done this. I think the patience aspect is a little bit interesting because he's talked about how his plan is in ink, but the path is in pencil. So I don't know where that comes from all of a sudden. Apparently it comes from a Peloton ride with Brandon Walker, who ended up passing that on to him. So, but that's the little bit of wisdom that Barry Trotz is going off of right now, the latest thing that he's just kind of sticking with here. But, you know, when he had his conversation with Jared, even yesterday on Stillman & Company, he talked about how he's the one taking initiative to go scout now. So they've got, you know, those five picks of this summer's draft he really wants to hammer home. And so, sure, you've got the young guys that you can look back on, but even some of those players that you even named, you know, some might be here next year for sure. You know, I would certainly think Joakim Kimmel, Tanner Mullendike, and maybe Matthew Wood can make a case to be on this roster next year. That's if some of those guys have amazing training camps. And aside from Matthew Wood, I don't even know if Tanner Mullendike and Joakim Kimmel even make the team next year. They certainly could. I think Nashville would like them to make the team next year based on what they're doing. And I think that both of those guys could see time in the NHL before the end of this season, possibly. We'll have to see how it pans out based on injuries. But Adam, it's weird to think that they had this elaborate plan, perhaps that was going to last maybe 3 to 4 seasons at the most, where they could capitalize on, you know, we got Jonathan Marchessault, Brady Shea, Steven Stamkos, Ryan O'Reilly, Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg. You got all this core group that is formed, yet they have done so bad. It has the result is cataclysmic for this franchise, and Barry Trotz has been walking back on himself a little bit. And I think, like you said, he is moving the goalposts in terms of what he needs to do moving forward. And I think this summer, if he can't adjust, if he can't figure things out, and clearly he even was like, hey, if you don't want to be here, I'll trade you. Not very many guys were traded as much as I thought might be, but perhaps those guys want to see it through. They are embarrassed after all, so we'll have to find out if that actually works.
Barry Trotz has boxed himself in with these contracts. Now, to his credit, he did not give up any draft capital or any prospects to bring in the free agents he brought in the summer. All he had to do was pay them money. So they still have 3 first-round draft picks. This upcoming draft, Trotz can use all 3 on young players. He could trade one for someone who is ready to be in the NHL right now. That would be my preferred way to go. But this team came into the season as the second oldest team in the NHL. The only team that had an older opening night roster was the Edmonton Oilers. And that makes sense because the Edmonton Oilers are right in their Stanley Cup window. So I want to trust Barry Trotz that his plan is sound, but I just don't see if we are to believe that the players they have right now are, for lack of a better word, placeholders for the next generation. I don't see a next generation that fills me with confidence. I think the players that we mentioned, Tanner Mullendijk, Matthew Wood, Joachim Kemmel, Fedor Svechkov, they can be good players. They can be serviceable players. They can be part of the solution. But you need that alpha. You need that Connor Bedard, Macklin Celebrini type, the 20-something, the early 20-something, who you can see as a pillar of your franchise. Again, that could change this summer, depending on where the Predators draft and who they draft. But right now, I just don't buy it. Like, if you wanted to buy time, there are other free agents you could have signed for less money, for fewer years, that you weren't going to give full no-movement clauses to. You could have done that. So, to me, the idea of signing Steven Stamkos, among others, and just saying, well, I needed to fill some holes to give my younger players more time to develop, those are not the right players to do that with. What message do you think you were sending to your fan base when you signed Steven Stamkos? So to me, again, sometimes I'm prone to hyperbole, Keezer. You may have learned that about me.
Really?
I'm not buying it. I hear what Barry Trotz is trying to sell. I'm not buying it. So again, that can change. It can absolutely change. I am open-minded. But at this moment right now, I'm not buying it.
Well, I don't blame you. And I'm kind of under the same sentiment of you do ask players to come in and you pitch this idea to them that they are Stanley Cup contenders now. Well, if you look at what Jonathan Marchessault's got, he does have a 15 trade team. It's a 15 no trade list. So, I mean, look, you could still maneuver things this offseason, and I'm sure even Luke Shen thought he would be able to ride into the sunset with Nashville. And I think the sentiment of players don't come here to retire, you know, like that, think about how that looks now. Like, I'm not joking. Like, that does not look very beautiful right now. And I know that those guys are not taking this lightly, that they have struggled mightily, but they have to change the narrative. And if you're embarrassed by it, go change it. And they've won four in a row, so maybe they are doing that currently. But Adam, it's going to be intriguing to see if there are any players that may be asked to leave, or if Barry Trotz says, I have this in place, is it okay if I move you? I think that is very fair to still have on the table, just considering what they have going on right now. And it really wouldn't surprise me if they even trade guys that we thought might have gone at the deadline, a McCarron or a Sissons, you know. And quite frankly, if the Predators don't like the development even from a younger player, they might move off of that too. I mean, I'm not sure who I would go to immediately and think about that, but I don't know. It's weird to go back on, and I do think some of those younger players like a Mullendijk or a Kimmel, they have special skill, so they could be guys that you lean on one day, but they're not earth-shattering, franchise-changing players whatsoever, and they have to take huge advantage of that this summer.
Coming up next on Preds Insider, something else that Barry Trotz said last week that got a lot of attention, and his response to that. Coming up next, this is Adam Bingen and Nick Keezer, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Bruner did a lot of adjusting this year, which I give him a lot of credit, and I handed him a tough hand at times, you know, in terms of players up and down, number of players, all those things. I give him a tough hand, but he's growing as a coach all the time. I think he's a hell of a coach. I think he's a hell of a person. He's done everything, in, like I said, in the hockey business, and I guarantee you, take the summer, he'll come back, and he's more prepared for everything.
That was Barry Trotz last Friday following the NHL trade deadline. Adam Bingen with Nick Kieser this week on Preds Insiders. And Nick, I didn't hear the press conference live. I had to go back and listen to it later. But I saw Robbie Stanley transcribe that quote and tweet it out. And I saw that. And as you might expect, the reaction was interesting, to say the least, considering how poorly this season has gone. And I think there are a lot of Predators fans, and I don't blame them, who want someone's head to roll for how bad this season was. And the easiest, quote-unquote, choice would be Andrew Brunette. So Barry Trotz was on with Jared Stillman on Tuesday, and Jared asked Barry Trotz point blank, does that statement mean that Andrew Brunette is going to be the head coach of the Nashville Predators next season? This is what Barry Trotz had to say.
Is that your way of saying that Andrew Brunette will be the coach of this team next year?
No, I think everything's for evaluation. I think it's too premature to make that decision one way or the other, and I think it's unfair right now for me to answer that because I do know this, that you have to go through all those experiences. That's the one thing that I do believe, is you go through all these experiences, you become a better coach. If it was a situation with a player, you'd be a better player, and you're prepared for whatever comes at you, whatever situation you're in going forward. So no, I didn't want to tip my hand one way or the other, and I'm not going to. And I think it's unfair, not only to me, because and Andrew and our fans and the players, our focus should be playing as well as we can, and evaluate the rest of the season and make a decision at the end of the season. So I think that's a little bit premature on whoever is throwing that out there. And if you took it that way, I that's on me, but that's not my intent in terms of that statement.
So that was Barry Trotz saying, that's not what I meant, basically. And honestly, Nick, when I heard that, I was kind of relieved. Not because Joe Rexroth likes to give me crap because he thinks I just want to fire all of the coaches. That's not true. Although, it did only take me 25 games this season to go on the air and declare that the Predators should fire Andrew Brunette. And for those of you who missed that, my explanation, not just the fact that the team was bad, was that there is proof, statistical proof, that teams that fire their coaches in the NHL, I don't know why, but they do get a bump in winning percentage and points percentage. So if you are trying to salvage the season, you should fire your coach. And that was the argument that I made. I guess that would have been back in either November or early December.
Yeah, November.
So I haven't moved off that. I have said that Andrew Brunette is a good coach. What I always say when I say this is, bad coaches do not finish as the runner-up for the Jack Adams Award 2 out of 3 years. I know that Andrew Brunette is a good coach. I do not think he is the right coach for this group. Now, Barry Trotz mentioned it in the clip we played from Friday. And on Saturday, Barry Trotz spent time in the broadcast booth with Willie Donick and Chris Mason, expanded on that point, talked about how Brunette maybe at first was hesitant to adapt, to adjust, but made adjustments to his system. And Barry Trotz felt that the team had responded. I believe that is my correct summary of his time in the broadcast booth with Willie and Chris. But my question for you, Nick, as someone who is around the team every day, someone who watches every game, is at every home game, are you seeing adjustments, and how are the players responding to those adjustments, not just on the ice? When you've talked to them about these adjustments, what are they saying?
Yeah, I think the first thing I go back to is when at times people are talking about how poorly Brady Shea is playing. And I have gone to Brady and talked to him about his game numerous times this season. And what I've kind of gathered from him is he goes constantly back to this sentiment of, I've played a certain way for all of my career up until this point, essentially, is what he's talking about. And I understand. Look, and we learn things differently. And that was something I asked him was, are you more of a visual learner or are you more of someone that just needs to do something else, just listen or go out there and do it for yourself, whatever that might look like. And he told me that he was more of a visual guy where he needs to see it in action. And I think for him, it's been difficult because he's the one that's trying to do it on the fly in games and in practices. And for some reason, when things snowball, he's just not able to kind of correct himself. And it's not just him. It's been pretty much everybody else on the roster. And when that's a problem, you can get isolated quickly. I understand that. But at the same point in time, when you are, you know, making the amount of money that you are and signed under the term that you are, expectations are high, not just for the team, but for yourself. And I think for him, he does take that personally. And I think since Nick Blankenberg has come in, he's really helped him out. That's just one scenario. But overarchingly for the team, I would say since they came back from Four Nations, obviously they were sluggish the first few games, traded Gus Nyquist, that team kind of quit on itself. But I think once they found a rhythm, they do stick to this new plan. I feel like their attack is a little bit better. They go through the neutral zone a lot quicker. One thing I noticed that fans say is that they're not as physical. I don't think that's completely true. I think we've seen them get physical at times and be physical in the right places. Now, do some players not do that as often? Yes, i.e. Justin Barron, but that's a whole other story. We'll see what he turns into. But I think for the forwards, it's been interesting to see how Fedor Svechkov has continued to get comfortable. He's rushing up the ice. He just did last night against the Sharks and looked really good in that first period, and he did the rest of the way as well. I may have fallen asleep, but I did go back and watch a little bit. But I think watching the younger players take advantage of this, and they're just playing hard. And Andrew Burnett's been really happy with guys like Ozzie Weisblatt, Zach LaRue. He's been, you know, talking a little bit better about Luke Evangelista lately, and that's good. But he's even expressed how much he's liked some of these depth pieces. And Adam, I think when you start to see any progress, you start to know that there is buy-in. And with the injured players as well, it's tough to say the whole roster gets it. Well, Lazan's out for the year. Willsby's out for the year. LaRue's been out for the last basically 2 months. Yossi's probably done for the season. And you still have one guy in Bunting that has to figure it out. So I do think there is a response. I think they have done that. But I think those gaffes snowball so quickly on them that they know that they are where they are. And mentally, it just becomes that much more challenging for them to remain consistent, Adam. So I hope that is a long way of understanding that I do think they are understanding Brunette's adjustments.
Willie and I were having this conversation yesterday, and we were talking about this final stretch of the season and how much it could mean for Andrew Brunette and whether he remains Predators coach. And my counterpoint to Willie was, well, I thought the same thing about John Hines. Think back to a few years ago, the Predators had sold off Matthias Ekholm and Tanner Jeannot and Mikael Granlund and Nino Niederreiter. Matthew Schoen was injured. Philip Forsberg was injured. Ryan Johansson was injured. Roman Josi was injured. They were basically fielding a preseason-type lineup. And to their credit, they battled hard. UC Saros played well. The Predators stayed in the playoff race until the bitter end. But it wasn't enough. Now, Willie Donick did make the accurate point that John Hines was not Barry Trotz's hand-picked coach, as Andrew Brunette is. So perhaps Barry Trotz will allow for more leeway with Andrew Brunette. But even if the Predators play well over the final however many games they have left,
like 17, 18
games, they've won four in a row. That's great.
I'm glad they're not just rolling over. Again, some of you might wish they were. But I have a hard time, and again, maybe this is me being a sports talk radio host. Maybe I'm a little bloodlusty. I don't know if that's even a word. But I can't imagine it would be acceptable to a lot of Predators fans for there to be no repercussions for this season. I know everything that could go wrong went wrong right from the start. They lost their first five games in regulation. I remember going on the air on DVD after they started 0-5 and said, Predators fans, I give you permission to panic, because teams that start this way almost never recover. And I may be proven right, because as we know, the likelihood of the Predators making the playoffs is, well, I was about to do a little thing with my fingers, but this is not a visual medium, so you'll just have to picture me putting my index and thumb, my index finger and thumb as close together as I possibly can.
There you go. There's the play-by-play.
It's slim, if not none. And I do not think it would be acceptable for Barry Trotz to do nothing. So I do think that, again, that Andrew Burnett is a good coach. I do not know if he is the right coach for this group. And I think that someone needs to be made the scapegoat for this season. And unfortunately for Andrew Burnett, I think it's got to be him. Again, maybe I'm being a little bloodlusty, but I just don't know how you can justify this season and then come out and say, well, it stunk, but we're going to try again next year.
Right.
I don't know if you can do that.
Well, what about, and very well could be Andrew Burnett, but... And I think if Burnett goes, by the way, I think every part of the coaching staff has to go as well. I mean, that's just how I feel. And I was kind of surprised that there weren't more changes last year. I'm just going to be frank. I mean, the guys that are on staff now, they've done a good job of maintaining, you know, the good morale. But I think if they are to make any changes, you will have to look at the rest of the team as well. I mean, you just have to. And so, look, we could even see Andrew Burnett kept and then maybe – staff changes around him, Adam. I mean, we're not sure what's going to happen, but I do feel better knowing that Bill Haslam is coming in July, and I've heard he doesn't put up with any BS. So we'll have to find out what kind of business he means when he comes in. Quite frankly, he could make some big changes and say, I'd like this to happen. And hopefully he has the right people around him to make those judgments. He's been pretty active around the team this year, just being present for games. He was at training camp. I remember him being there as well, and he's been around Barry Trotz quite a bit. So I think there is that to lean on as well, is the ownership change this summer. And I know I've seen several Facebookers and Xers talk about how this has got to change when ownership changes. And maybe it will, but if it doesn't, then I think you have to have a little bit of grace period there as well. At least there is ownership showing up and at least talking about this at times. And so I think this summer we'll see a little bit of that transition as well. The ideology that Barry Trotz has, I'm sure he's going to move the goalposts again or double down on what he's already talked about, Adam. But I think you're right. Someone's head has to roll, and I think it could be Andrew Burnett. But at the same point in time, maybe it's more roster changes. We'll have to wait and see. But that's the beauty of a sports talk and why we're here now. So,
coming up next on Preds Insiders, we'll wrap up the show by taking a look at the upcoming games on the Predators schedule. Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser here with you on Wednesday. The Nashville Predators are back in action on Friday against the Anaheim Ducks, a 9 o'clock Central puck drop. They wrap up their road trip in Los Angeles against the Kings. An earlier game, a 7 o'clock puck drop, so a 5 p.m. Pacific start for Predators and Kings. So you only have to stay up late on Friday, a normal start time on Saturday here in Nashville. The Predators return to Bridgestone Arena. Of course, the SEC men's basketball tournament is there right now. The Predators return for a three-game homestand starting Tuesday, March 18th against the St. Louis Blues, Thursday, March 20th against the same Anaheim Ducks, and a hockey night in Canada next Saturday against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Looking forward to that one in particular. So, Keyser, Steven Stamkos went 13 consecutive games without a point, the longest drought of his Hall of Fame career. Since he broke that streak, he can't stop scoring. 9 points in his past 4 games, 5 goals, 4 assists, of course, the hat trick against the Chicago Blackhawks last weekend. But Steven Stamkos feeling himself right now. Unfortunately for the Predators, it's too little too late. But what have you seen from Steven Stamkos over the past 4 games that has allowed the Steven Stamkos we've come to know in the NHL to emerge?
You know, I'm going to sound like Andrew Burnett, but I think he's playing with a lot more joy. I think that is what I've noticed the most from that group, is they are playing with some more joy. And since they traded away Gus Nyquist, like I mentioned earlier, you're down when stuff like that happens, obviously. But when you have to adjust on the fly, it's a little bit more difficult, but it can also be a blessing in disguise. You know, he's been playing wing with Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Evangelista, and I think a lot of it has to do with having Luke Evangelista on that line, to be honest with you. And, you know, the other night when the Predators were playing against the Chicago Blackhawks, I thought that that was Luke Evangelista's best game, probably of the season, perhaps. And he looked really good against the Seattle Kraken as well. But I think the way that they have responded to each other on the ice, and just anticipation and passing and shooting, they know where they're going to be. And when you have those level-headed players all together, it can breed something beautiful. So I think that has been a good result for Steven, but also he finally has been hitting the shots from his very, very prized spot on the ice. And I think once you start to do that as a player, you start to build that character back, and you start to get back to, you know, this is what home feels like. And I think for him, he's been slowly building that this year. And he thought that it'd be hard on his family this year to adjust, but it's been harder on him. And for him, he's finally breaking through, so good for him. And nobody thought it would take this long for him to get going. And Jonathan Marchessault had some good point streaks as well earlier this year, so I'm curious how he responds as well. But yeah, I think he's been playing with joy, Adam. I think he's been playing with a little bit more charisma on the power play as well. That first power play unit has been quarterbacked by Nick Blankenberg, by the way, most recently. Brady Shea was doing that, but Roman Josi's out of the lineup, so it's been Shea, Forsberg, and kind of Blankenberg there. But I think they've been finding each other very well here as of late.
Quickly, I want to talk about a waiver claim the Predators made last week.
Jacob Vrana. Someone that you would know, right?
Yes, he was a first-round draft pick of the Washington Capitals. Barry Trotz would know him well as well. Vrana played for Trotz when Trotz coached the Capitals, was part of the Stanley Cup-winning Capitals team in 2018, played 23 playoff games that spring, bounced around the league. Since leaving Washington, went to Detroit, went to St. Louis. I believe he went back to Washington.
Yep, on a PTO.
On a PTO, as you said, a professional tryout. I also believe he spent some time in the player assistance program. He's had a couple of 20-goal seasons in the NHL. He's far removed from those. Those happened during the 2018 and 2019 seasons. But, you know, still a young man. Well, actually not. He's 29. He's actually older than I thought. He seems young. Maybe that's because
he does look young.
He does seem young, but your early impressions of Jacob Vrana.
Yeah, no, I did some quick research on him, and we got to catch up with him earlier in the week. And yeah, I'm impressed with his earlier years for sure. He's really struggled, and I wasn't sure what he went into the PA program for. Have to go back and see if that was even really talked about.
They don't usually disclose that unless the player wants to.
Yeah, that's true. You know, i.e., you know, Connor Ingram. But anyway, So, but his back-to-back 20-goal seasons, that was encouraging. He was a top six forward there, and Barry Trotz feels like he can kind of help him recapture some of that skill. And it was interesting to see that I didn't know this, but he went to the AHL last year too. He played in 42 games down there. So he's really trying to reprise his role in the NHL. But it's only two games. There's not much to read into yet. He's been playing on the third line. That's probably about what he's going to get. But I wonder if he makes a good enough impression to where he earns another contract, because he is a free agent this summer. So should that be something Barry Trotz wants to do, he might be able to get him on a two-way deal too. And if that's the case, then I say it's a no-brainer. But yeah, he's got 11 points on the year, and he's a goal scorer. So that can be something that Nashville can take advantage of. And he's got 220 points in 395 games. So he's coming up on 400 games. And, you know, that's nothing to blink at, but he's been down the last few years. And we'll see if he can kind of just recapture that, like I said.
The Predators are back in action on Friday in Anaheim against the Ducks. Puck drop at 9. Pre-game coverage starts at 8 right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The Predators conclude their road trip on Saturday in Los Angeles against the Kings. Despite it being a Pacific time zone game, it starts at 7 o'clock here in Nashville. So again, you only have to stay up late for the game against the Ducks. We hope you will join our coverage, of course, always, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. That'll do it for Preds Insiders this week. For Nick Kieser, I'm Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.